Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show. Truckers, welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just hit one, or you can listen along. We're also on Facebook Live. We appreciate everybody doing that for us and watching along. Try to check out any kind of comments you make on there. Appreciate everybody participating. But like I said, we're calling in. Just, you know, be on the radio. This is a radio show. It's, like I said, 515-602-9731. Give us a holler. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckinize.com. And we'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. You download it from your app stores, wherever you get your app from. You can check them out at truckertools.com. They got a website there, and that pretty much breaks everything down for you, where you can check out how they deal with they've got where you can book freight, track freight, which is also they deal with brokers and shippers and things like that. And they also have it where you can track maintenance facilities, where you can find that kind of thing, or you can get truck stops and parking. They even have a way that you can find parking spots, you know, not particular like truck stops, but just parking lots, people that private property that offers up parking, and you can pay for it on the app, and it's pretty neat. So check that out. Like I said, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the app for truckers. Appreciate all their support. So we're here talking about what's going on in the news, you know, for truck drivers. We're also just talking about life on the road and how we deal with things, how truckers take care of business out there and everything. And one of the things that we were talking about here last week was that the FMCSA has actually introduced the rulemaking process for the proposed rule. Well, it's a rulemaking process. They're ending the comment phase of the rulemaking for speed limiters on all commercial vehicles that are manufactured. I think they posted that they're shooting for like 2003 or newer would be required to have speed limiters. And they're not really set on the speed. The way it listed is anywhere between 60, 65, or 68. So that's what the proposed, and there is a comment phase now there where you can actually make public comments. We posted that to our website, or to our Facebook page, actually, and I'm going to post it again. Let me go find it real quick on here. And it was the, let me get it pulled up, make sure I got it pulled up right. But it was the, like I said, rulemaking for speed limiters. And there's an article that that does the speed limiters, and they're doing the what do you call, where you can make public comments. And that's I think this is where it's at, where they've made it where you can actually go click it to comment. So intent to issue a proposed rule, and click here. Nope, that's not it. Let's see what this says. And there is a public comment. I thought there was a. where we can see that. Let's see. Nope, it's not on here. All right, we're gonna go, just go back to where we know where it's at, and that's on our Facebook page. Actually, is where it's at. Ah, come on now. Anyway, here we go. But yeah, so it's, I mean, it's gonna go until the end of June or something like that, or to the end of May. I think it's like a 30-day deal. We can go into here and scroll down to where we're doing it and see. And all that. Last night we had a pretty good discussion, because there's a lot of talk now on the mainstream media about how, hey, we're having a driver shortage. Well, one of the things that prohibits drivers from people to become truck drivers is they have to pass a drug test. And what they're finding out is that not only are drivers losing their job because they're smoking weed on their time off, but also new hires and people that want to become truck drivers can't, because they're popping positive on the test. So that's crazy. You know, I mean, we've got a good audio about that if you want to check that out, and that's on our blog talk. It's see, what day is that? But it's on Blog Talk Radio, so you can check that out. That's on our blogtalkradio.com/redneckandeyes, and you can see all of our audios on there. And we can definitely get everything else to you. I don't know if y'all saw also, too, there was an earthquake registered in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Garth Brooks held his concert there at the Tiger Stadium on the LSU campus. And when he played the music in the speakers, it registered so loud that it registered like a 3.6 on the Richter scale to qualify as an actual earthquake. So that's something you don't see every day. Now, see, that's weird, because I know that I posted. Here it is. So, yeah, so it's a comment period, and it's the regulations.gov. It's comment period ends in 25 days. When you click on the actual link, it'll tell you that, and then you can go in and write a comment. And I was going to see if maybe there was others making comments. Maybe you can see comments, and it does not. It does not give you anybody else's comments. You can only see, write in comments. You cannot see other people's comments. So we're going to share that to our Facebook page again to make sure we just double down on that. And that way people can get that out there and get the information out there, and said that's on speed limiters. Now, I know a lot of people are opposed to that. We here at Redneck and Eyes, we think it's kind of funny that everybody's talking, you know, there's a bunch of people that talk the talk but never walk the walk. You know, they always say, well, you know what, when they pass these rules, I'm just quitting. I'm not going to do it no more. I'm going to hang it up. You know, they said that about e-logs, and they said that about, you know, when they start making automatic transmissions or whatever, you know, and company drivers were saying that, or Qualcomms, when they say they were going to, when the companies were going to, you know, whoever they were working for, if they get those Qualcomms, it's going to hang it up. You know, and nobody's ever doing that. You know, nobody's ever quitting over that stuff. So we just think it's kind of funny that they're going to get out there and they're going to just not, you know, do. There we go. And so we just hope that everybody does, you know, what they say they're going to do. Now, I don't know. It's one of those, I don't like it because it's freedom. We want freedom. And, you know, the funny thing about it is that, in my opinion, ever since OIDA has been in existence, the federal government has been taking more and more freedoms away from us. And it's one of those things where, you know, they probably wanted to do that right off the bat, but OIDA is like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, we don't want that. But then it's like slowly but surely, here it comes, you know. It reminds me of the second Captain America movie. You know, I love these movies, and the second Captain America movie was that way, where, you know, World War II, they tried to take people's freedoms away. You know, we're just going to take everything over. And people were like, no, you can't do that. But if you allow stuff to get so bad that people will voluntarily give up their freedom for security. And that's exactly what happened in that movie. That's the whole reaction that they had to come with, that is that over time, people have just allowed their freedoms to be taken away, you know, after 9/11, you know, after, you know, just any kind of big shooting we have, you know, people just say, you know what, let's just take all that away. Let's not have those freedoms anymore. You know, now we're getting to the point where people are getting their feelings hurt, or people are getting insulted, you know, and of course, there's violence because of political speech. People are portraying violence, and instead of condemning the violence, we're condemning the speech. And we're then, let's just get rid of the speech, you know, or we'll just say, hey, anything I don't like, it's a lie. You know, that's what we'll do. We'll just call it a lie. Anything that's not in our favor, we'll just call it a lie. And if we run the organization that's in charge of posting those, you know, those lies that we call them, we just won't let them be posted. And that's pretty much what's going on. So, well, that's what is pretty much happening to all of these freedoms in the trucking industry, is that we're just letting it happen. We're just sitting back letting it happen because, you know, nobody cares, you know. And, of course, with the speed limiters, if you're out there making decent money and you've got a good truck and you're treating it right and everything, you're not driving 80 miles an hour. Okay, you know, most of the time you're driving slow speeds, even out there in the middle of nowhere. Now, not saying that you can or you will or you do sometimes, but that's not your average. You don't normally want to do that. And I think what we were talking about it yesterday a little bit, and I think we've kind of narrowed it down. It's one of those things where, because drivers are able to go 80, and hey, you want to do 80 out there on Interstate 80 in Nebraska, or Interstate 20 in West Texas, or on Interstate 40 going through Oklahoma, Amarillo there and all that. Well, not Amarillo, but I mean, with out in the middle of nowhere. But the problem is when you get to Amarillo, slow down. Don't try to go 80 through Amarillo, because that's, you're going through a city, you're going through a populated area. There's bigger traffic. You need to slow down, you know, but what happens? Drivers, they just constantly get into a habit. You know, they got the seat kick. We were talking about it earlier. Got the seat kick back, you know, got the foot on the dash, you know, getting all kinds of just comfortable, and you're heading into a populated area, and instead of backing it off a little bit and just, you know, maybe downshifting or something, you know, they just like, no, I got it, go, just get on. As long as nobody's in front of me, I'm just gonna keep on going. You know, nowadays the newer trucks with these company drivers, the trucks will maintain the speed, so they don't even have to worry about slowing down. The truck does it for them. So, you know, we're just getting into that where nobody cares anymore. They're going to put speed limiters on there. Nobody's going to like it, but nobody's going to say anything. You know, they're just going to bitch, you know, and all that, but nobody's going to do anything. Just like e-logs, you know, what you're going to do is you're going to, if you don't want it and you're specifically saying, I don't want it, then you're going to go buy an old truck, but you don't have to have it. Right. Or you're going to hang it up. You're going to put your money where your mouth is. So that's what is going on right now, is speed limiters. I didn't realize that it just popped in there last week, you know, and they kind of just sneak it in. And I thought that was unusual that they, so we're going to put that on there and, like I said, go to that link and make some comments. It doesn't say, we have no idea, you know, we have no idea, who's commenting or what comments have been made or nothing like that. So we just don't know, you know, there's no way to know. So go check that out, like I said, and we're going to keep an eye on it, and we'll keep posting it. And like I said, go put it on there and everything. You know, a lot of other things going on. They've got some, of course, the gas prices are up, and there's some task force being formed. We thought that was pretty funny that we saw that. So like I said, we're just going to truck and ride along here. So like I said, if you want to chime in, just let us know. 515-602-9731. And like I said, Keith, let's keep it on going. So, yeah, go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And like I said, thanks to our sponsor, Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. Appreciate them. So hang tight. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Oh, Hey, what's going on? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check us out at 515-602-9731. Be a part of the conversation, just hit 1. Now, if you want to listen along, that's fine too. But hey, this is what we do. We do the radio side of it. So every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. Or on Sunday, we kind of slow it down and have a nice little chat. It's about a two-hour show, but that's call-in only. So that's what that is. And we don't do a Facebook Live on that one. And it's just kind of more laid back, and we're just trying to get, you know, talking about issues with other people and other drivers and just, you know, breaking it down so we can get that on YouTube for everybody to check out. Like I said, go check out our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Don't forget one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys, you know, they not only do they clean the filters, where you can send your filter to them, they'll overnight it to them, they'll clean it, overnight it back, but they also sell the parts. And they got the EGR coolers, the charge air coolers, turbos, they're getting into all that. You can actually give them a call, 800-634-3010, and they're open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., or Saturday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., and check them out. DPF Regeneration, those are the people the shops call to get parts and information about all of that particulate filter and all the new technology and everything. So when the shop needs help, that's who they call. So, you know, hey, if you need help with all that, you can call. You can check out dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support. So when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. They've been with us a while. So it's been a lot of fun. But let's see. We just been kicking things back. And doing everything we can to try to get information out of everybody. We were talking about just a while ago that there's a comment period for the speed limiter regulation. There's about 25 days left of that. So you can get that out and go over there. We got the link posted to our Facebook page. And also, what was pretty interesting is that there is a task force being formed. And I might get that link. I want to share this link out to people too. So there's a task force being formed. It's the Truck Leasing Task Force, TLTF, of the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Chartered by the Secretary of Transportation on February 11, 2022, and this task force is charged with examining the terms, conditions, and equitability of common truck leasing agreements, particularly as they impact owner-operators and trucking businesses subject to such agreements. USDOT will include the U.S. Department of Labor in the TLTF's deliberations. They're actually extended their application deadline till this coming Friday. It was Friday, May 6th. Now it's Friday, May 13th. And actually, if you're an owner-operator out there, I mean, pretty much what it says right here, if you're an owner-operator and you might be a person of color or woman, then you're probably going to be on the task force no matter what. That's what it says right here. Because it says, members, of course, now here you got to remember this, members serve without pay and are chosen from a field of qualified candidates for a two-year terms. This is an all-electronic application process. The FMCSA encourages diverse and non-traditional representatives, especially women and people of color, to apply to serve on the task force. The application period has been extended by 1 week through Friday, May 13th, 2022. To apply, please enter the following materials to, and it's actually just an email. It's tltf@dot.gov. And what you need to do is you just have a letter expressing your interest and qualifications to serve on the committee, specifying one of the following membership categories. If you're a labor organization, if you're a motor carrier that provides lease purchase agreements to owner-operators, a consumer protection group, or an attorney that's specializing in consumer finance issues, including experience with lease purchase agreements. If you're an owner-operator in the trucking industry and are experienced with the lease purchase agreements, a business that provides or is subject to lease purchase agreements in the trucking industry. So if you meet all that and you've put that in a letter, and then, of course, a resume of relevant work experience, one letter of recommendation from somebody who knows you and your professional accomplishments firsthand. This can be a supervisor or a colleague. And it says, for questions concerning, please email, of course, the same address, tltf@dot.gov. So I'm assuming this is all going to be on like a Zoom or some kind of like a conference call deal when they have these meetings, because it doesn't say you have to live in the area or whatever to be there. I don't know, but you're not going to get paid. But hey, you know, I might throw my hat in the ring, just see what happens. I'd like to just get that letter to say no. That might be just something, right? Of course, I don't know if I can get a letter of recommendation from somebody other than myself. Oh, man, it's hilarious. But yeah, it's something else to me. I just, you know, truck leasing, I got a pretty good video about it on YouTube. It gets high regards where, you know, we can get many things going on in there. But to me, that's what I can enjoy is somebody actually pointing it out. But there's a lot of things with that lease purchase. A lot of people get into it. A lot of people succeed. A lot of people fail. It's one of those things. And that video that I have on YouTube, it doesn't even actually specify whether or not you should or shouldn't. It just tells you. If you do, just understand some things. That the leases, and we talked about this last night too in more, a little more detail, but the leases are pretty much all written for the favor of the carrier or whoever's doing the leasing. It's written in their favor. You know, they actually pray. I mean, just think about it, that if they're advertising to you, they're trying to sell you a truck. Okay. They give you a lot of things. They might give you upfront, you know, some kind of bonus, or they might give you like, you know, no payments for, you know, 6 months or whatever, different things like that. But just rest assured that they're praying off of your desire to be able to operate your own truck the way you want it. Now, that's another we talked about too, is that once you sign on the dotted line, you may think, well, this is my truck. I can run when I want. I can work when I want. That's not necessarily the case, you know. Or, you know, I can take that truck anywhere I want. That's not necessarily the case. You know, so you got to watch out for that stuff. A lot of leases are written to where you can't take it to another carrier. And if you can, then you have to, and it's kind of one of those things, you have to qualify. You just can't do it. And I don't know, on the task force, if I was on the task force, one of the things I said is that, you know, I'd like to have a rule. It's all about IRS is what it is. And I'd like to have a rule that says that if, unless you meet certain criteria on a lease purchase, then you are not classified as a contractor. You are an employee, because most of these carriers, they want you to become lease purchase because then they can qualify you as a contractor. They don't have to do your taxes. They don't have to pay, you know, they get a break on having to pay half of your Social Security, because the employer is responsible for half of your Social Security. Unless you're a contractor, then you're responsible for all of it. So it goes from 7.5% to 15%. You know, that's your Social Security, and that you don't, you know, in that money, you don't get a break on that. Like if you don't make any money, you still have to pay 15%. And then the income tax is on top of that. So you know, you gotta watch all that stuff. Most of the time, if you can do everything right with your expenses, all you have to pay is the 15%. And that's all you're gonna have to pay. But you'll never have to get out of that paying that 15%. That's Social Security. That has to be paid. And as a company driver, as an employee, the carrier, that your employer is responsible for paying half of it, and you pay the other half. So that's how that works. That's why you see a lot of people, they say, I'll pay you under the table, you know, hourly. I'll pay you $25 an hour under the table. And they're like, no, I want to get paid, you know, legit. I said, well, if you get paid legit, I'm only going to pay you, you know, $15 or $20 an hour. I'm not going to pay you that much, because if they go legit, then they're responsible for paying that tax, and that comes out of that. So, you know, that's something to think about. And that's one of the goals they have, is to say, if I can have all owner operators, I ain't got to mess with payroll. All I got to do is deduct anything that I have, make them pay for, which is, you know, a lot of times they have a good way to get insurance. So they'll provide insurance. Sometimes they have a good way to have, like, you know, fuel. You know, sometimes they don't even have the way, you got to buy your own fuel. So a lot of things like that roll gets all rolled up in there, and you just got to watch out. You know, a lot of just because it says lease purchase don't mean it's all cakewalk stuff. So that's a, like I said, there's a task force. It's at the fmcsa.dot.gov, and we'll get that link shared to there too. It's pretty interesting to me to have that kind of stuff. And then we'll get that on there. But you guys, so go check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget, you can call in here every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in 515-602-9731. Like I said, we go live for an hour here on every weekday. And we also have on Wednesdays, it's the Women of Redneck and Eyes, and that's at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So you call in, and that's, you know, it's the same people, you know, Redneck and Eyes people. It's just, you know, different subjects, different hosts, all that good stuff. So check that out. And like I said, don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. And don't forget one of our great sponsors that we got, and that's DPF Regeneration. Go check them out, dpfregeneration.com, or give them a call at 800-634-3010. Like I said, tell them Redneck and I sent you, and we appreciate all their support. So hang tight. We'll keep it on going here in this Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a minute. Everybody, hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's Monday. Where's everybody at? Get to work. Time to get to work. I'm about to head to work here in a little bit. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. To be part of the conversation, just hit 1. And we'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride, LTRTransportation.com. Load to Ride Transportation. That's a great company based out of Colorado, out of Denver out there. And all their drivers I talk to, they say they're busy. And they're running miles, and they got plenty of work to do. So also when I'm talking to them, they deal with the customers a whole lot more than I would think a company driver would deal with. Like, they talk to actual brokers, they talk to the actual customers, they actually set appointments. Like, they'll call the customer and say, hey, I'll be there at this time or whatever, or they'll coordinate with their dispatchers and say, you know, hey, let them know I'll be there at this time. And it's kind of like the driver, you got to keep better with that. And in my opinion, if you're out there working for one of those mega carriers and you're thinking about becoming an owner-operator, even maybe you want to learn about getting your own authority and all that, working for one of these mid-sized carriers like this, where actually you get more involved in the process of, you know, how the trailer gets loaded, or, you know, what kind of freight you haul and who you're talking to as far as customers, brokers, and all that, because it seems like that's what they do. They deal with that a whole lot more. So go check them out at ltrtransportation.com, or give them a call at 720-277-0030. And when you talk to them, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. So, yeah, before we were talking about it, we were talking about the lease purchase task force. They're taking applicants, and if you're, as long as you're willing to participate with no pay, you know, and if you're a woman or a person of color, and you want to do a job for no money, give them a call or give them a holler right there. They got an email. It's what is it called? Where did I say that at? Maybe it, did I do it? No. Yeah, here it is. TLTF@dot.gov. That's it. Oh, man, it's hilarious. But the other thing that was happening, and you know what? I'm going to let you this here is, says here, says truckload line haul spot rate drop accelerates under pressure from surging diesel prices. And it says freight waves. Future of Supply Chain Summit is being held this week in Northwest Arkansas, in the epicenter of North American supply chains. If you aren't able to attend, you are welcome to tune into the free live stream that we will carry all of the content in the main stage. The event kicks off on Monday at 9 a.m. When did this article get posted? Yesterday. Yeah, yesterday evening, like late. Or something, because I tell you what, it wasn't on there when we did our broadcast. This article was not posted. So when I click on the live stream, does it take me anywhere? Well, it says waiting. Let's see if there's anything. I want you to enter all this. Okay, so we'll get to that later. We'll see what happens on that. It says that this event, we will be introducing several new data products, including a new national index that is assessed and published every day. This is based on the FreightWaves Sonar Trusted Rate Assessment Consortium. It's published and based on the prior day's reports. All assessed rates reports require booking dates to ensure that the data maintains consistent integrity. In addition to a daily index, we are also releasing a daily business day index, which eliminates weekend reports, and a 7-day rolling average index that tracks the prior 7 days. It says all of these indices provide a high-frequency look at the freight market since they are updated and published and available for Sonar subscribers overnight. In addition, that we are planning to announce an expanded data relationship with truckstop.com, so Sonar customers will have deeper access to freight market intelligence and rate information. So what it is instead of going for a 7-day, they're doing like an every day. And so what they're doing is, it says here, it continues on. It says, from this daily index, we'll be introducing a line haul only 7-day moving average spot index, which provides an estimated spot line haul rate net of fuel. This eliminates estimated diesel fuel costs from the index based on the fuel consumption of 6.5 miles an hour. So this is calculated by taking the FreightWaves National Truckload Index 7-day rolling average and subtracting that estimated daily truck stop retail diesel and dividing it by 6.5. It says FreightWaves has offered a daily National Truck Stop Retail Diesel Index for years, but since it tracks closely with the DOE weekly average, there hasn't been a great deal of interest in the daily data. But with the retail prices so volatile these days, daily updated truck stop retail diesel has never been more relevant. It says by removing retail diesel from the index, Sonar subscribers can see how spot market carriers are performing in the market. With diesel prices experiencing unprecedented price acceleration, there has never been a more important time to track diesel and line haul separately. So it looks like they're trying to get more detailed about the diesel prices. It says many fuel surcharge tables use a diesel cost base of $1.20 to $2 a gallon. We decided against this because we wanted to understand that cash flow for a carrier net of fuel. If you wanted to add a base in for $1.20 at 6.5, you can add 0.185 a mile, or $2 a gallon, you can add 30.7 a mile. It says to the line haul rate. Since the index is always net of fuel with zero cost base, the index will track the carrier's revenue net of fuel. From April 30th to May 6th, trucking line haul spot rates, 7-day moving average dropped 0.09 cents from 217 down to 208, making it one of the largest weekly drops since line haul rates net fuel peaked in January 14th. So this per day drop was one of the largest 1 week drops in the index at the pace that is almost twice as fast as the average from the peak set on January 14th. In the 113 days, spot line haul only index has dropped 93 cents. That is a drop of 0.8 cents a mile, or 8 cents per day. It says this past week, the drop was 0.1, or it's actually 1.28 cents per mile per day. Says more than a penny a mile per day. That's right. So the spot market drop in the 113 days since the peak has only been at 0.8 cents a mile per day. So just under a penny. Now it's up over. It says it's 1.28 per mile per day. So 30, like what is that, 30 tenths of a cent, whatever it is. I mean, it's not that much, but when you add miles, 600 miles a day, it adds up. The diesel fuel increase of 36 cents a gallon from 519 to 555 during the same 7-day period between April 30th and May 6th, which translate to an increase of 5.5 cents a mile. Surging fuel costs likely limit to the carrier can get in the line haul, since truckload spot is always quoted in gross and freight brokers have an amount in the load that they're willing to pay regardless of fuel. This can be deadly when gross spot rates are falling at the same time. You know, I always thought it was strange that, even if you're a broker, okay, and you know you're never going to buy the fuel, you're never going to be the one to buy the fuel, okay? But if you're booking a load, let's say you got a customer and that customer says, hey, I need you to haul a load. You're going to quote them. You need to quote them a high, high price, right? So, and the problem is with that high rate, as a broker, we know you're going to try to finagle as little as you can toward the driver. You're going to try to keep as much of that money as you can, which, hey, that's how business works, I understand. But as drivers, we got to learn how to do that. We got to learn to say, no, we're not doing that. Because you think about it, I was looking it up, and brokers were charging shippers to go from South Texas up to Dallas. They're charging them $6 a mile is what they're charging them. And I looked online to see what the trucks were offered on these loads, and there's only like $2.50, $3 a mile for, you know, that's what they're in the load boards. When you pull up a load board, that's what you see loads in there. Now, I'm not saying that there might be some, trucks out there that these brokers will call and they'll give them, you know, $4 or $5 a mile. But I mean, you tell even $1 a mile, that's expensive. That's expensive. I think that's what fuel costs. Fuel basically right now costs $1 a mile or more, depending on your fuel mileage. So that's just crazy. You know, so what I don't understand is if you're a broker and you got a contract with a shipper called you up and said, I want you to haul my freight, and you quote them a contract, the contract should include a fuel surcharge. So that way, when you send them a bill, all the loads, you know, whenever you tell them, whatever miles the load is booked, let's say you're picking up in Dallas and you're taking it to Atlanta, whatever those miles are, there's a fuel surcharge attached to that load. So I'll only charge you this rate plus the fuel surcharge. And the fuel surcharge, and you set that. You set it as like so much per mile based on, you know, the price of the fuel. So as the fuel prices go up or down, the surcharge goes up and down. If you're a shipper, you should have no problem doing this, because when the fuel prices go down, your rates automatically go down. You don't have to renegotiate the rate when the fuel cost goes down. And then that way, as a driver, we know that if the broker calls you up and says, hey, I got this load, it's paying this and the fuel surcharge, that way you know you're going to get that surcharge. You should get that surcharge. The problem is what we're seeing, and I'll double check here and see. But what we're seeing, I think, is we're seeing that even though the broker is quoted or signed a contract with a fuel surcharge, they're not actually passing that on to the driver. And that's where you get a lot of OIDA people wanting to create laws where you need to have transparency. You need to have truth in pricing, which means you need to show us what you're getting, what you're getting paid. So if there is a fuel surcharge quote in there for that, then you need to show us. And sometimes I just think, even with a law like that, I don't think that a lot of people are going to be truthful. I just think they're going to lie through their teeth and just, you know, you're just going to deal with it. Because how do you know? You know? And so I don't know what you guys think about that. We're gonna continue this conversation along. I'm going to step away, and I'd like to make sure everybody understands we got a great sponsor, and that's LTR, Load to Ride Transportation. And check those people out. And those are the ones right there. They got that great trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. You can give them a call at 720-277-0030. That's Load to Ride Transportation, LTRtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to go call in 515-602-9731. We'll see you here in a minute. Hang on. Well, hey, everybody, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. You can call in. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And we're just trucking right along here. I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the app for truckers. You can go check out, download their app from the App Store. You can actually get more details about the app at truckertools.com. And they're the ones, you know, book freight, track freight, all that kind of good stuff. Also, they do it where even if you're not a driver or a company driver where you don't, you know, you're not going to go book freight or anything, but you can still get on the app and you can track your route. You check your routing. You can check for fuel stops or maintenance or any kind of truck stops or anything like that. So they got a lot of stuff like that you can do on there too. So like I said, go check them out, truckertools.com, or you can download their app wherever you get your apps on your app store. And make sure you let them know you appreciate them support Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. So we're going to keep on going. What we're talking about here is we're talking about how the Freight Waves is introducing a deal where they're going to do more of getting more averages out instead of a 7-day, where they're going to try to do an everyday thing, and where they can actually break down the more fuel costs, because fuel costs is so volatile, and they're changing the way they do that kind of stuff. And we were just talking about how brokers should be able to get a surcharge, but then again, are they actually passing that surcharge on to the drivers? So go to the phones here, and I think we got one of our good people there. What's it going? How you doing?
Wasn't me. No?
Yeah, are you there? Is this Jeff?
Yeah, it's Jeff.
How you been?
A lot of brokers, I mean, the way we do it, the way we handle the brokers in our company, is that we'll bid a load, or they'll offer a load up, and they say they're going to pay X amount of dollars. Well, we know what the national fuel surcharge is. So that gets figured in along with what we will, you know, our lowest, what we'll haul rate for. And if what they're offering takes care of that, we'll take the load. If it don't take care of that, we'll say, well, you're about, you know, 50 cents a mile. When they thought the brokers, that ain't really broke down to the mile. It's broke down as a total amount.
Yeah, I mean, divided
what PC Miler says is the profit miles to get there. It depends what it figures out to be. But they're not, and they probably won't ever disclose what their, you know, fuel surcharge isn't in their mantra.
Yeah.
So it's the overall rate of the total gross of the load. And if it's enough to cover expenses to the driver, fuel surcharge, and enough for the company to make their cut, either we'll take it or we won't take it.
Yeah. What I was always looking at, whenever I was looking at loads on the load board, and or you even call, if you call and talk, the worst thing is when you call and talk to a broker, because like you're saying, all he's going to be giving you is dollar amount, dollar amount, dollar amount, dollar amount. That's all he's going to give you. He's not going to have anything broke down. He's not going to have any of, like, by the mile or nothing. He's like, I got a load picking up in Dallas, going to Chicago, you know, it's paying $2,500. And you're like, how do I know if that's good or not? You know, you just got to have it in your head to know, you know. And well, a lot of times
you got to take the miles, how long it is. Break. You got to do the math. You got to break it down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
a lot of times they're on the clock too. They'll get you. They'll get you to. I mean, it's one of those things where they'll try to. You'll get them on the phone, and they're like, "I got this one here. I got to get it going. I got another guy waiting on it. What are you going to do?" You know, and you're like, you're either going to jump on it, or you're going to lose, and you don't know whether or not to jump on it or not. And it's kind of like, you know what? I ain't going to do that. I'd rather take my time and evaluate it out. And if I'm slow at that, then, you know, so be it, you know.
Well, we basically got a policy. If they're that hot to move it, they'll talk to us. If they don't want to talk to us and go over all that, then screw it. We don't want to do business with you.
Yeah, exactly. Just like what Greg said before, a while back, it was like if they want to move that bad, then they'll pay.
Oh, yeah. Some of these brokers are, you know, they may act that way, but they're wanting to get, and there's not enough trucks to haul a lot of it. They'll work with you, you know. And then our company, we've got our own customers, you know, and we just, and everybody knows what the national fuel surcharge is. That's something that's published daily. So they know, you know what the national is. So just about every broker, everybody who's doing freight knows that's got to be part of it anymore with high cost of fuel.
Right.
You know, so that's all I really had to say. You know, you got to break it down. If the broker don't want to wait and break it down with you, then screw them. Run, find somebody else to do it.
Yep. But the looks like FreightWaves is trying to get into the DAT business of providing a lot of information and getting people to subscribe so that you can get in there and look at all of their reports and everything.
It's another bullshit. I mean, the more people that put their fingers into my load, the less bottom line I make.
Exactly.
And I'm sick and tired of the brokers and FreightWaves coming out of the program. Everybody wants to take a bit of the pie before the truck driver gets the crumbs.
Yeah.
So
and they're telling you, you know, we're providing you all these reports and all this information, and it's like, you know, I mean, I don't know.
If you're half company, you don't need those reports.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what's going on.
Yeah. Control your expenses. Like you're saying, you can look up the national average. That's for free. That's public record. The national fuel surcharge. You can look up, you know, whatever the price of fuel is. That's actually public record. You can get that anywhere. You know, you can get on Google, and Google will give you the, like, average fuel costs of whatever radius you pull up on the map. You pull up gas stations, and every gas station will pop up on there and give you the price. Whether you want diesel or gas, it doesn't matter. Google will show you that. So, yeah, I mean, just like you're saying.
All these companies, Trucker Tools, all of them, are making a profit off the back of the trucker. I just think it's bullshit.
Well, and that's the thing is that we need to watch what they're doing. And like I said, you got to keep track of that. Everybody out there, you know, just like DAT, I call DAT because I was looking at trying to book some freight down here. And, I mean, they want $200 for me to just be able to get access to the load board. You know, and it's like, that's a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a truck driver having to pay that money to get access to a load board so he can find freight. So, yeah, I mean,
there's too many people right now making too much money before the trucker sees a dime, which is wrong.
Yeah.
After going to what I saw at the truck shows this year and seeing how it's wasted, it's even more ludicrous.
Well, did you hear what I was talking about earlier? Me and Greg talked about it a little bit. They're looking for people to join the truck leasing task force for the Department of Transportation. You can actually apply and send them an email. And they're looking for diverse and non-traditional representatives, especially women and people of color, to apply to serve on the task force. Oh, by the way, you serve without pay for 2 years.
Yeah, well.
And it's they're examining the terms, conditions, and equability of the common truck leasing agreements.
Huh. What a joke. Yeah, well,
I'll tell you what.
I bought mine outright. That's the best way to do it. So
that's right.
Whatever. Well, that's all I got to say. I ain't got a whole lot of time. I'm doing a 34-hour reset at home, and I just allowed it to call in quick. And I heard you talking about fuel surcharge, and like I said, it's built in, or we're not going to haul it.
Gotcha.
You know,
Got it.
Talk
to you. It doesn't matter. Yeah, cool deal. All right, bud. Appreciate it. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's they all build it in. And, you know, you might think, you know, a lot of drivers, we're all programmed to know by the mile. How much is it paid by the mile? We want to know how many, because as a company driver, we get paid by the mile. As an owner-operator, at least to a carrier, it's always by the mile, you know, and all that. And when you start dealing with brokers, man, all they care about is just straight-up dollar amount. So you got to have that in your head to know, you know, how many dollars does it take to haul a load from Dallas to Chicago, Chicago to Pittsburgh, whatever it takes. You know, you kind of have... You know, pretty soon you do it long enough and the miles just pop up in your head. You know, a lot of times you just got to break it down by day. You got to figure it out. You got to say, well, it might take me all day to drive from Dallas to Chicago. So how many dollars do I need to make a day to make my week and that kind of thing? You know, if you figure it on a 5-day or whatever, you know, maybe you think I need to make at least $1,500 in a day, you know, kind of thing. And that'll pay for fuel and everything, you know. So certain things like that you got to make. I remember if you can pull in about $5,000 a week in revenue, that was 10 years ago. So I'm figuring it's got to be around the 7,500 range that you need to be pulling in revenue to make your bills and everything. So I'm thinking either, you know, I'd say right now, if I was going to become owner operator, I would have to have at least $2,000 a day in revenue coming in order to be able to, you know, make money and live a good lifestyle and all that. And that's $2,000 a day. So that way, if you do take time off, you're not, you know, it's not hurting you. It doesn't hurt you to take 2 days off. You should be able to take 2 to 3 days off as an owner operator because you should be making money. But you never know how that happens. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you make $4,000 in a day, sometimes you make $1,500 in a day. It's one of those things you got to average it out. You know, so it's one of those deals. You know, just like backhauling. You know, when you make a load going out and you want a load coming back, you're more. A lot of drivers, you know, they say, "What's a backhaul?" Well, it's one of those things where you're more willing to take less money to get home. You know, or you got a load to pick up in Atlanta. That's a good load. And you're in, like, say, Charlotte, North Carolina, or you might be in Jacksonville, Florida, you're willing to take less money for that load to get you to the better-paying load. A lot of people figure that, you know. I remember when OIDA had their they were doing the thing, I think it was DAT was doing it, where, you know, they would tell you, well, if you're going from Indianapolis to Chicago, you know, back and forth, that is not – that's paying this much going back and forth, but – if you instead took a load from Chicago down in Indianapolis and then Indianapolis over to Cleveland and then Cleveland back to Chicago, you know, you'd only be going this many miles out of route and you'd make this much more money, you know, so that kind of thing. So you got to figure all that because a lot of times the backhauls, if you can reroute yourself around the backhaul to where you can make more money and then you'll get back around the same time or maybe a little later, but you're making more money per mile, you know, or per day, however you want to figure it. But it's all, I mean, I tell you what, it's a science. It is definitely a science. And, you know, that's one of the things I always tell everybody that it ain't, you know, being an owner operator, if I was on that task force, that's one of the things I would say is that being an owner operator, because of this lease purchase, they're out there advertising to every truck driver to be a lease purchase. They're advertising to every person that is, you know, they got a pulse and they got a CDL and they currently work for a carrier and that carrier constantly pushing them to become an owner operator. And the problem with those are is that being an owner-operator is not for everybody. It is not, you know, a lot of people become owner-operator doing lease purchase. And a lot of people succeed, and a lot of people fail. What do you call a lot of people become owner-operator without doing a lease purchase? And the success rate actually is higher by not doing lease purchase. If you're doing lease purchase, you're more likely to fail than you are if you just went the regular way of buying a truck with cash or buying it through a bank, that kind of thing. So that's just cold, hard facts. And I wish I had the report or stats to back that up. I just don't, but I just that's from experience and talking to everybody. You know, people that buy their truck through a bank, you know, they're more likely to pay it off. They're more – it's actually lower. The truck payment is not that expensive going through a bank because you probably had to buy a less expensive truck because you had to qualify for the loan, or you had to buy – or you had to put a big down payment, you know, to qualify for the loan. As a lease purchase, they don't care. They don't run your credit. You know, they don't do anything. They don't even make sure you're making money. They just say you're an owner-operator and you're not running that many miles. You know, I mean, I did as a dispatcher, you know, and this we're pretty much done here, but I'm just going to tell you this. I was a dispatcher, okay? I had 45 drivers that were listed under my authority there to make sure that they ran their miles and make sure that they ran their miles, they got home, they took care of their business, okay? The owner, a lot of the owner-operators, there was probably about 15 of them that were owner-operators, and about maybe 8 or 9 of them, I'd say about 60% of them, maybe 10 of them, I didn't have to worry about. They always knew where the freight was. I never had to call them and make sure they were working. I never had to call them and make sure they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. Few of them, I had to hold their hand a little bit, even as an owner-operator, because they still didn't understand that they were the boss. They didn't understand that nobody's going to tell them what to do. But anyway, the other thing was is that company drivers that were like half-ass, that were really not that good drivers, they were only doing about maybe 8,000 miles a month as a company driver. And, you know, and then they get to a terminal and they say, oh, I'm going to go take a nap and do some laundry. And then about 3 hours later, they call me up and say, hey, you know, where do you want this truck? Because I talked to the guy, he's going to make... become an owner-operator. I was like, what? He's going to become an owner-operator. He don't even run that many miles as a company driver. He don't even do that. So, yeah, there you go. But anyway, that's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap it up here, and we've been having a lot of fun, dude, talking about this stuff. And I just want to make sure everybody understands. Go check out the website. That's renekanize.com. You can find all the links to our sponsors. Our sponsors are Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com, and Load-to-Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Go check those out. You can find all the links to their websites on our website at redneckandeyes.com. And please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And let me see. Back it up here. There we go. Good deal. But everybody, just hang on tight. Like I said, we're here. That's just the phone message thing winding down. But you can call in every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That is 515-602-9731. Like I said, be part of the conversation. Just hit one, but go do that on, let's see, that's every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We also do a Sunday show. That's going to kind of do our little Sunday special, we're going to call it, where we're just going, we kind of take it slow. It's audio only, and we get more details. So, of course, I rant and rave all the time, so details are my thing. But check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody watching on Facebook and all that. We'll be back tomorrow here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. So until you see you next time, y'all be safe, be successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see y'all down the road.
Recording stopped. We can climb so high. I know.